This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
It's good to be consistent. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "أحبُّ الأعمالِ إلَى اللهِ أدوَمُهَا وَإِن قَلَّتْ." That the most beloved deeds to Allah subhanahu wa taala, they're the consistent deeds, even if they're very little. So earlier, when I came for Dhuhr Salah to ICI, the people were so less that I didn't feel like I was in ICI. So I was thinking whether we should have the halaqa or not, but then I said that even if we go and do it for a short period of time, if there's no reason to cancel, then there's no reason to cancel. So alhamdulillah, we were talking about the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the hijrah is probably one of the most important lessons in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But you know, sometimes when we read books of seerah, we just glance through it, we just say, okay, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated from Mecca to Medina, and that's it. But actually, from the very beginning, like we started to discuss last week, there's so many lessons just in the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that one time when I was teaching this seerah a few years ago, and I was teaching it to students, it was a lot more in details. And one of the students was collecting all the different lessons that we would point at. And he collected over 120 lessons just from the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's such an important event in Islam that when you look at Islamic calendar, when they were deciding where to start the Islamic calendar from, what day or what year, or should we start it from the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or should we start it from Nabuwa? It didn't start with the birth. It didn't even start with the Nabuwa. The Islamic calendar actually starts from the migration to Medina, which shows the significance that till today we use that calendar. We date back to that. And subhanAllah, whenever we talk that, okay, Imam Abu Hanifa, he passed away in this year, or this person, he was born in this year. Well, we are calculating from the time of Hijrah. And so that's why it's such a significant and important event. And we learn these details in Seerah that usually we as Muslims, and a lot of times the religious folk, we will not really pay attention to them. And one of those things, for example, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba, they migrated for the sake of deen. But what does that migration mean? That migration was a collective effort of preparing, of using all the asbab that is available to you, and of having trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was a collective effort of all these different things. Whereas for us, sometimes there's two extremes. One extreme is like, you know what? I need to strategize. I need to plan. I need to have a strategic plan. I need to, you know, put every single thing, every single detail into a plan that could be carried out. Okay, that's good. The other extreme is that I need to make sure that I have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make sure that I have my reliance on Allah and everything will be taken care of. The seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in specific to the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, shows us that these are two things that came together. These are two things that came together. When it came to planning, when it came to working hard to make sure that every single thing goes in a right way, but at the same time having tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make sure that, you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of it. And a lot of times, especially when you have big matters to take care of, you have to do both. You cannot rely on one or the other. You see, we know a lot of times different startups, institutions, different places start. And if we just say that, you know what, Allah will take care of it, then sooner or later you're going to see finding yourself in very challenging time. You're not going to be able to move forward. At the same time, if you are just like, okay, everything has to make sense, and it has to, the numbers have to add up, and this has to add up, it's gonna, you know, you're not gonna be able to do anything either. And so, for instance, in our institution in Ihya, when we run things, we see, subhanAllah, that we put in all the effort we can, whether it's Ramadan time or other times, whether it's collecting the funds or doing the PR or talking to the people. But then when our budget comes, the numbers don't match. And we were talking to some people and they were like, okay, we need to see your budget and we need to see where you're spending. And they're like, I don't get it. You guys are spending almost $500,000 and your funds that you guys have collected is less than half of this. So how is this working? We said, we don't know either. Right? How is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing it? He is doing it. Right? We don't know. It's just coming in. Right? But at the same time, we have to understand that we still got to do our effort. We still have to do our thing. When I was in Darussalam in Chicago, and before their expansion started, and they have, mashallah, almost a $50 million project going on. It's nothing small. And so before the expansion even started, before the, you know, ground digging ceremony happened, we were there and all of that. And we're just like, how is this going to happen? But I remember, you know, Mufti Azimuddin and Mufti Minhajuddin and them, mashallah, the whole family is so involved that sometimes it would be so much snow. Chicago would have so much snow. And when they would be home, their mother would tell them, like, what are you guys doing? Get out. Go. Do some effort. Go to people. And in that cold snow and wind, Chicago wind, they would go to people, visit the people, to do whatever they can to basically progress the project. And that went on and on. And then, just some time ago, Sheikh Yasir Qadhi, he went to Darussalam. And Sheikh Yasir Qadhi went and he said, who's behind all of this? So Mufti Munhajuddin, he took him to his father. He said, you know, Dr. Misbahuddin, he's my father. He's behind all of this. And so he looked at him and he said, people know me for speaking. People know me for speaking, but today I'm speechless. Because I don't know how did you do all of this? And he said that there's this concept of barakah. There's this concept of tawakkul. That sometimes you do your effort, but you have to put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up the ways. We were speaking to one of the brothers here, one of the founding members of ICI, into his house to take mashwara and just speak to him. And he said, you see how big ICI is and how beautiful ICI is? You would think that ICI is built by the rich community. He said it isn't. ICI was built by the poor community. It was built by the taxi drivers. It was built by the people who are working in the small shops. It was built by these people. But these people put in their effort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you have tawakkul on him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open ways. So we see exactly that in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we saw last week when we started to discuss, the Quraysh have come up with such a plan that it's almost guaranteed to succeed. It's almost guaranteed that these people are going to implement this plan to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, na'udhu billah, and it will be done with Islam and done with everything. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did whatever it was he could do. Taking a handful of sand and just throwing it in the air. Do you really think it's going to do anything? With guys who are strongest of each tribe and holding a sword in their hands. Do you think that's going to do anything? It's not going to do much. But it's the effort that counts. And he did the effort. Then he put tawakkal on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's like, okay, let's go. Do you think that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam going on the same exact night where the planning is happening and going to the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, do you think it's going to protect? But still the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose the best time to go because you have to still take your precautions. Do you think going from the back door instead of going from the main door, do you think it's really going to become like the Arabs are so, you know, mindless that they're not going to figure that out? But it's the effort that counts. And do you think going and hiding in a cave is going to protect you from all of that? But it's the effort that counts. And so we see this theme that it is the effort. And once you put in all the efforts, then you tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have done my job. And that's why you see over here when they are in the cave, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is like, oh Prophet of Allah, if they were to look down, we're done. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is like, don't worry, Allah is with us. You see, subhanAllah, once you've done your part, then trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now after a few days when they realize that the Quraysh are looking in one direction, and subhanAllah, nobody is really caught on, things are a little bit more calm, they start to go. And they don't take the regular route. Medina is this way. They don't go this way. Rather, they go this way, and then they take a much longer detour and go all the way by the seashore, go that way. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanAllah, another thing we realize over here is he doesn't say, oh, I'm a Prophet of Allah, I know it all. You know, I'm doing deen ka kaam ho raha hai, I'm doing the effort of deen, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care. They hire a professional. They hire somebody who knows how to navigate, who knows the ways. And they went back and forth with him to make sure that they trust him and make sure that everything is good. And from there, they hired him and said, okay, now you show us the way. And now they start to go towards this direction, towards Medina. And again, the Quraysh are still looking. And everybody was like, you know, we've checked everywhere, we can't find them. One day, the Quraysh are all gathered in one place. And there's one person, he comes and he's like, you know, I saw Sawat, I saw this darkness. Because basically when you're in a sand and you're seeing something from far away, you just see a dark movement. I saw some movement over there. I have the feeling that it's going to be Muhammad and his companion Abu Bakr. And I feel like I should go there. And if I go there, I win. I come back with 200 camels. So at that point, one of the Quraysh, he's like, he realized to himself, he's like, you know what? I'm pretty sure it's them. But if I say, yeah, it's them, this guy is going to go and he's going to get the reward. So let me just say that it's not them. I already know it's not them. Suraqah ibn Malik, Suraqah ibn Jash'am. So Suraqah is like, no, it's not them. We already checked them out. It's somebody else. Don't worry about it. So he kind of makes the person hopeless. There is no need to go. In the meantime, he goes to his house and he's like, all right, where's the horse? Where's the sword? Where's this? Where's that? Get everything ready. I have to leave. And he gets on his horse and he starts to go towards that direction. The direction to go get the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. As he's getting close, Suraqah is narrating this story himself. As he's getting close, his horse is starting to sink in the sand. Is not able to. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is seeing that Suraqah is getting so close. He's like, oh Prophet of Allah, he's just looking left and right, left and right, left and right. Whereas the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is nice, calm, relaxed, reciting his Quran. This is tawakkul. You do your part. But then when fear comes, then when difficulty comes, know that Allah will be there to do his part when you have already done your part. So at that point, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is looking back and forth, back and forth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is relaxed, not doing anything. And so then Suraqah is trying to come and the horse is sinking. Suraqah realizes that something is up. He realizes that this is not a normal case. And so at this point, he's like, I don't know, should I go, should I not go? And at that time, they used to do a lot of, you know, fortune telling and, you know, let me put in the arrow and take out the arrow. If the arrow tells me to go, I will go. If the arrow tells me not to go, I won't go. The arrow told him not to go, but even then he's like, 200 camels? That's a lot of money. I can't just let that go. Let me just go anyway. And so as he's going, same thing is happening and he's realizing that his life is now at risk because the horse is acting in a very different way. He's about to sink into the ground. And so at that point, he tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr, guys, I'm coming in peace. I'm coming in peace. Don't do anything. I'm coming in peace. And so then he comes close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he's like, you know, I've come in peace, this, that. He offers them food. He offers them drink. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is like, we don't need any of this. And then he's like, okay, write me a letter that we are basically say, like, you know, letter of aman, letter of safety that, you know what, I can't be harmed by you or anything like that. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and them, they write them that letter, goes Suraqah ibn Malik goes back. And subhanAllah, he goes back in the evening time, the Quraysh are still like, you know, we haven't checked that direction. We should go and check that direction because maybe Muhammad is there. And subhanAllah, the morning time, Suraqa goes to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the evening time, he's with the Quraysh and he's saying, oh, no, don't go there. I already checked it. There's nobody there. He's defending the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? It says that went in the morning to kill him, and in the evening, he's protecting him. This is how, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect. He will make your enemies your defenders. He will make your enemies your friends when you do things according to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But of course, you're only going to do it according to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam if you learn how he did it. And unfortunately, these type of situations, we don't talk about, right? We speak about, okay, how big is the dhari, right? How many rakats to pray? How much this? How much that? We speak about this stuff. But when it comes time to speak about, okay, how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam maneuver through his life? How did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam balance between using asbab and having reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This balance, this i'tidal that we have in our deen, the best part of our deen is i'tidal. The best part of our deen is that it is not that we go out to the mountains and we say, okay, we believe in Allah, Allah will take care of everything. Right? Or we say that, you know what? Everything in this life we have to do ourselves and we have to take care of ourselves. And both of these are extremes. And both of these extremes are the keys to stress, the keys to, you know, no advancements, the keys to all of that. And that's why, subhanAllah, you see, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passes away and the Muslims start to get in power, the Abbasi Empire and all of that, you see so much advancement because the Muslim scholars realized that we don't just say, oh, tawakkal on Allah, Allah will take care of everything. Rather, they invested their time, their ilm, their energy, everything into education, into scholarship, into civilization, into development. At the same time, they prayed and they had connection with Allah and they worked and they went out in the path of Allah and they did all of that. And whenever these two were together, the Muslim Ummah was thriving. And whenever we separated them, that they're supposed to be this you know, religious group that is just supposed to be like Allah say otay Allah, that's it, just nothing else, right? And this side is only, oh my God, we have to get the dunya. Whenever we divided between these two, right, that's when we started to create the different extremes. Our deen is teaching us that you have to be in a balance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that he has created the whole mankind in a balance. The whole mankind is in a balance. The galaxies are in a balance. If the earth was to move from its orbit even by a centimeter, there would be chaos. And so even within our own selves, we must create that balance. And that is only created when you read about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. And so then from there, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and then continue on with their journey. And subhanAllah, now they go to a tent of this woman. She's, you know, known, Mumabad, she's known. And, you know, she is known to host people. As they go, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam realizes that they don't really have any goats. And she's like, where's the goats? They're like, it's a year of drought. There's no vegetation, there's no water. They went out to be grazed, but there's nothing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees a goat at the corner of a tent. He's like, can I milk that one? And she's like, well, there's nothing in it. It's very weak. It wasn't even able to walk. He's like, can I do it? He's like, okay, go ahead, do it. They get a bowl. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Bismillah, and starts to milk. And starts to milk so much that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu drinks. She drinks. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam drinks. Everybody's filled. And they still save enough for her husband. And they sit there, and after that, when they go on, now her husband comes back, and he's like, where did you get the milk from? There's supposed to be no milk. Like, the goats don't give any. And she starts to explain about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there was this one Qurayshi who came, and these are his qualities. And this person, he is now so interested that, wow, I have to go and accept his Islam. So he goes out and starts looking for him. In the meantime, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, they continue their journey and they go and they reach Quba. And Quba is where they establish the first masjid. They pray the first Jum'ah, right? And that is where Masjid Quba comes into existence. And inshallah, from here, we will pick up next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.